Shabbat Shalom. This week's Torah portion is called Va'et Kanan, meaning, and I pleaded. It covers Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23 to chapter 7, verse 11. This parasha is a rich and powerful reading. In addition to the preparations and warnings for crossing over the Jordan and possessing the inheritance that God has promised his people, it contains the reiteration of the Ten Commandments, the Shema, instructions regarding knowing and help and living out God's word within the home, and other counsel for Moses to the young generation preparing to enter the Holy Land. As the parasha opens, Moses pleads with the Lord to reconsider allowing him to cross over into the Promised Land. But God refuses this request with a definitive no. The Lord's refusal is based on the actions of Moses in Numbers chapter 20. It is in this chapter that Moses was instructed to speak to the rock at Meribah to bring forth the water. Instead, Moses struck the rock twice after telling the people, "Must we bring the water out of this rock?" suggesting in some way that he, Moses, had something to do with this miraculous event. Now we may ask ourselves, why would Moses do such a thing? It's an easy thing to ask. We can also serve as a powerful reminder of how many times we've also taken credit for something God has orchestrated. Whatever you accomplish in life, even in your failures, give God the praise and honor that the Lord Most High deserves. Now, though the Lord forbids Moses from entering the land, he does show him grace by allowing him to see the land from a distance. Since Moses will not be entering the land, God also instructs him to direct Joshua as his successor. Now, more than anything, Moses wanted to finish the journey, cross the Jordan, and stand in the soil of the Holy Land. It was so close. Ordinarily, Moses got what he asked for, whether he asked God for miraculous provision, amazing signs and wonders, direct answers from heaven, or divine assistance. God heard the prayer of Moses and answered them. But as we see, not even Moses got everything he asked for. Did this denial make Moses angry or resentful or envious toward Joshua or the people that were entering the land? No. Instead, Moses wisely listens to God and in chapter 4 continues to instruct the people to follow God's decrees and laws so that they may take possession of the land the Lord is giving them. They're reminded of the consequences of worshiping false idols at Baal Peor and urged to walk according to God's commandments, not only for their sake, but also to be a beacon of light for all nations to see. Following the word of God, passing those teachings on to their children and their children's children, and bringing ultimate glory to God. Through Moses, God declares in chapter 4, verse 6, "For this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about these decrees and say, 'Surely, this great nation is a wise and understanding nation.'" It is obvious that God desired the people of all the nations to worship him and come to the understanding that he was the one true God. This is further established in Isaiah 56, verses 6 and 7, which state, "And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to the holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." God very much intended the Jewish people to witness to all the nations, bringing Gentiles to the Word of God. Today, it's the work of the Messianic Jews and the kosher-hearted Christians to fix our eyes upon Yeshua and aim to be that lampstand that gives light to all who are around us. Brothers and sisters, it is our God-given responsibility to follow and live the Word of God and to always be that light to others, regardless of any persecution or the possibility of being deemed an outcast. In chapter 5, Moses repeats the Ten Commandments. He makes the powerful statement that God did not make this covenant with the previous generation, but with this one, and how important their role would be enforcing God's decrees and laws to future generations. He also reminds the people that they asked him to stand between them and God because they were afraid of the fire and did not wish to go up the mountain. They had a healthy fear of God and his fiery presence and mighty voice. God looked favorably upon their request for Moses to be their mediator. Do you have a healthy fear of God? Well, we all should. And just as that generation needed Moses to be their intermediary, we also need one. God sent his son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, and taught us that the only way to the Father is through him. He is the greatest mediator of all that God could give us. Unfortunately, many have rejected the great Redeemer, despite Jesus fulfilling the words of the prophets. Many believe that they can get to heaven on their own merit. But as we all know, no one will survive who presume to draw near to God on their own goodness. Only through Messiah Yeshua may we enter the kingdom of God. Chapter 6 contains the Shema, the statement of our faith in the one true God, declaring God's uniqueness and that we should love him with everything in us. Moses states that the commandments of God should be pressed upon the hearts of his people and passed down from generation to generation. The Shema was the basis of much of Yeshua's teachings. The Shema prayer was so important that Jesus used it as the basis for his answer when asked about the greatest commandment of all. When Yeshua began his answer with the Shema prayer, he was acknowledging that loving God and being completely devoted to him was the most important, vital thing we can do. The words of Shema are a wonderful expression that the Lord is the one true God, and as Yeshua went on to say, also to love our neighbors as ourselves. The words of the Shema should saturate our lives every single day. The parasha ends with Moses instructing the Jewish people that when God brings them into the land, they are to drive out the many nations living there and destroy their altars and sacred stones totally, making no treaty with them, showing no mercy. He also states that they must not intermarry with them, or their children will surely turn away from God to serve false gods. The danger of turning away from God and his word and the consequences that follow are the main themes of this parasha. The message of warning given by Moses was meant not only for the people that generation, but stands as a powerful warning for us today. We must hold strong to the word of God, not turning to the right or to the left of it. Returning to the ways of God not only allows us to be blessed in this life, but also assures us the blessing of eternal life with him. In John chapter 5, Yeshua stated, "I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." Once we make that weighty decision, we no longer belong to the realm where death reigns supreme, but to the realm with life with our Lord. If as of today you have not made God the focus of your life, if you have hardened your heart to his commands, such as the Ten Commandments and the Shema, if you have squandered the hours of your day with idols such as money, television, pornography, and selfish ambitions, and most importantly, if you have not received the Son, the Lord Yeshua, as your Savior, your great Redeemer and Mediator, then pay attention to this Torah portion and the consequences it means in your life and the life of your family. Take heed to the word of Moses, the prophets, and our great Messiah. And on this day, return to the Lord, and you will find yourself singing a beautiful new song. Thank you.